All right, good morning. Isn't it nice and cool outside? How refreshing was that? And guess what? It's going to be even more refreshing in here because God is in here, right? Not that God's not out there, but God's in here with us. And so our hearts and our spirits are going to be refreshed this morning. So thank you so much for joining with us today for worship service. So not a whole lot going on in the bulletin, but I think it's still important for you to make sure that you have one. So if you didn't get one when you came in, please make sure that you get one on your way out. And so this Saturday, men, at 8 a.m., we are meeting for men's breakfast at Cracker Barrel. You're going to want to be there. Great time of food, great time of fellowship, just a really good time of being together. So hopefully you have that on your calendar. You'll come and join us. So men's breakfast where?
Cracker Barrel.
When? All right, good job. All right. So for the 8 a.m., exactly, not p.m., okay, a.m., all right? And so next Sunday, the Ritchie family is going to be sharing about their trip to Uganda, and that's going to take the place of the sermon, so you're going to want to be here for that. Maybe take a look around, see who's not here maybe today, maybe give them a call or a text or an email and say, hey, the Ritchies are going to be sharing about their trip to Africa. You might want to make sure that you're in church next Sunday just to be able to do that. Again, today we're going to be celebrating communion together. Looking forward to that. Are you?
Yes.
All right, that's great. Ready to worship?
Yeah.
All right, let's get after it.
Would you all stand with me this morning? Let's sing some songs about how awesome God is, okay?
Your love has rescued us. The cross delivered all our hearts from fear. Our hope is here. You came to make a way. Jesus, you came to raise the dead to life. Our song will rise. Oh, great and mighty King, you reign in majesty. Before your throne we sing, holy, holy. Oh, great and mighty King, for all eternity, we bow with heaven and sing, holy, holy. What do we have to bring? This is our offering, our hearts before the risen Lord. All power in your name, Jesus, the one who saves, be lifted high. Our song will rise. O great and mighty King, you reign in majesty. Before your throne we sing, holy, holy. O great and mighty King, for all eternity, we bow with heaven and sing, holy, holy. Your glory fills this place. We shout unending praise. Forever, alleluia. Forever, alleluia. Your glory fills this place. We shout unending praise. Forever, alleluia. Forever, alleluia. Your glory fills this place. We shout unending praise. Forever, alleluia. Forever, alleluia. Your glory fills this place. We shout unending praise. Forever, alleluia. Forever, alleluia. O great and mighty King, you reign in majesty. Before your throne we sing, holy, holy. O great and mighty King, for all eternity, we bow with heaven and sing, holy, holy. Lord, holy.
God is good, amen. Give him a round of applause. He's worthy of your praise today.
Come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise.
Come on.
And teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. Here I raise mine Ebenezer, hither by thy help I'm come. And I hope by thy good pleasure, safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor, daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. Oh, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it for thy courts above. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it for thy courts above.
Please be seated as we continue this morning. Lord, thank you for Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for giving us a future and a hope that is founded not in our faithfulness, but in yours. Thank you for what you've done for us and for who you are. Amen.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. He is worthy to be praised and adored. So we lift up holy hands in one accord, singing, blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He is worthy to be praised and adored. So we lift up holy hands in one accord, singing, blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. When I survey the wondrous cross, on which the bless your name.
As we prepare to take this morning's offering, we're going to sing a song called Worthy is the Lamb. And we also just sang a song about that wonderful cross that that lamb was slain on. Guys, when we sing these songs of remembrance, it's to put everything you have out there for the Lord, to praise Him with all that you are, to consider what He's done for you, what He's done for me, and respond. Respond in worship. As this plate passes in front of you, we are not asking you for money. Don't put money in that plate because you think that's what I'm asking for, because it's not. Worship. It's the only reason. It's the only reason. Worship Him with all that you are.
Thank you for the cross.
Start over, sir. Start over.
Thank you for the cross, Lord. There it is. Thank you for the price you bearing all my sin and shame. In love you came and gave amazing grace. Thank you for this love, Lord. Thank you for the nail pierced hands. Wash me in your cleansing flow. Now all I know, your forgiveness and embrace. Worthy is the Lamb, seated on the throne. Crown you now with many crowns. You victorious.
God is good. Amen. Turn with me, if you will, to Romans chapter 8. And I know that off and on we've been looking at some snippets in the book of Romans. And there's a reason for that. It's because Romans is so chock full of things that we as believers need to know. But I don't think we always take the time to read it. I don't think we always take the time to meditate on it. I don't think we always take the time to understand what it is that we need to know. And so I've been trying, especially during communion weeks, to be able to give us just an idea of what it is that God has for us in the book of Romans. Now, I know some of you are saying, well, Pastor, why don't you just preach through the book of Romans? Well, because there's a famous preacher who it took him 9 years to preach through the book of Romans. It would probably take me 11. And so it's like, I don't know if I want to put you through that because it is so amazing. And I say that because in my previous church, I preached through the book of Ephesians. And it was wonderful. It was really great. And I thought I could preach through it in about a year. Well, it took about three. Just because there were verses that I would preach on and I would think are done, and I'd move on to the next one, and God would say, okay, well, you said this, but the verse also says this. And you didn't bring that out. And so there were sometimes on the same set of verses on a different Sunday, I would preach a whole different sermon. And so it just took a lot longer. I can see that happening with the book of Romans. And so that's kind of why I'm just giving you snippets from time to time. I'll keep praying and see if God wants me to preach through the book of Romans. And then if you get mad because it takes forever, you can take it up with him if that's the way he decides for us to go. But this is the month of July, and the month of July, unless you've been living in a cave and not paying attention to the calendar, is about ready to end. But this is the month that we normally turn our thoughts towards freedom. And I thought before we close out this particular month of July here in 2025, because next year in 2026, our nation celebrates its 250th birthday. To this month, we've been celebrating the 249th birthday of our nation. How many of you knew that? Yeah, you're all astute. So I figured that, okay? And so I thought, you know what? Let's just spend a few moments to help prepare us for communion, going over freedom. Now, there's a lot of different ways that people handle freedom, and they have an idea of freedom. Some is a national freedom. That's what we celebrated on July 4th, is our national freedom. Some freedom from bad habits, freedom from bad relationships, freedom from unpleasant circumstances, freedom from an old dilapidated house that needs fixing, and so they move to a different house so that they don't have to fix up the one. A lot of different ways to be able to understand freedom. But this morning, to help prepare us for our celebration of communion, we're going to take a different track a little bit. And we're going to focus our thoughts on spiritual freedom. So to give you an idea of my point of how people think about freedom, in September of 2016, Lawrence Ripple was willing to give up his freedom to be free from his wife. The Kansas resident handed a Kansas City bank teller a note demanding cash and warned her that he had a gun. After receiving $2,924, he sat in the bank lobby, waiting to be arrested. He later explained to investigators that he told his wife he would rather be in jail than at home. The judge sentenced him to 6 months of home confinement with his wife. Sometimes the freedom we seek may not be the freedom we actually want, or the freedom we actually get. It's not that way with spiritual freedom. So we hear a lot about freedom. Our country fought in wars so that we could be free. We were reminded of that a couple weeks ago. In the United States, our Constitution guarantees certain freedoms. In other countries, people fight for freedom, or they come to the United States looking for freedom. But in our text today, Romans chapter 8, we are going to be looking at the spiritual freedom that is ours because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. And our text today is one of the most beautiful sections of the New Testament. And I could preach many messages just out of chapter 8 because it's one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. But today we're only going to focus on four verses, the first four verses of Romans chapter 8. As I've already said, there are some things that believers have a tough time understanding and accepting. We are promised spiritual freedom through what Jesus has done for us on the cross. But many believers never get off the ground in their faith because they do not grasp the blessing of this spiritual freedom. My goal today is to be able to help you grab a hold of that spiritual freedom that is ours. And why is it that it's difficult for us to be able to grab a hold of this spiritual freedom? Well, it's because our hearts want us to hold on to our past sins and make us feel like we need to be condemned for what we have done. Satan wants to keep our past in the forefront of our thoughts. And because of that, many people feel paralyzed with the feeling of condemnation because of their guilt. Maybe you've come here this morning and you relate to that. You've been holding on to guilt. You've been holding on to the sins of the past. You've not been able to experience that spiritual freedom that is ours because of what Jesus has done for us. But as a believer, we have spiritual freedom provided for us by Jesus. And I want us to look at that in greater detail for a little bit this morning. So the first thing we need to understand is there's a foundation for our spiritual freedom, and it's found in verse 1. Verse 1, Romans chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Now chapter 8 has been called the triumphant hymn of spiritual freedom, and it starts with verse 1. So most of us understand the concept of doing time for a crime, and I think probably Dave understands that more than the rest of us because he deals with that as being in his profession of being a lawyer. So most of us understand the concept of doing time for a crime. But in Jesus, the time has been removed for the crime known as sin. That's what verse 1 means. The time that you and I would be sentenced to do is eliminated when we come to believe in Jesus. Notice again what it says. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Let me just remind you that we get to be in Christ Jesus when we come to believe in Him as Savior. We are placed within Him. So for every single one of us who believe in what Jesus has done for us on the cross, when we believe in Him as Savior, there's no more condemnation for our sin. And if our sin is gone, if there's no condemnation, if the sentence has been lifted, then why are we carrying around the guilt? Why are we dragging it around with us? Why are we living in that guilt? Why are we living in that shame? Why are we living bound up by that? When Romans chapter 8 and verse 1 makes it very clear, the freedom is ours. Not because of what you've done, not because of who you are, but because of what Jesus has done for you. You all get it? I mean, I could end the sermon right now, but I'm not gonna. I'm gonna keep going, okay? And so, condemnation is a real thing. Condemnation is not some lofty theological term that is just a theory. Condemnation is a reality. And Satan can use that reality as a destructive force in our lives. So as we live in condemnation, we will never experience the spiritual freedom given to us through Jesus. Let me say that again. As we live in condemnation, we will never experience the spiritual freedom given to us through Jesus. Why? Because we're always dragging around that shame. We're always dragging around that guilt. We're always waiting for that shoe of condemnation to fall. But as a believer, it's not going to happen. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen? It's not my theory. It's not my concept. This is the truth that God wants us to be able to understand, and not only understand it, but live in it as believers. It is amazing how many years that I've been in ministry that I've had people come to me, and they're trying to find health. They're trying to find spiritual satisfaction, but they're dragging around the sins of their past. And these are believers. And when I bring them to this verse and I say, listen, the past is past. Jesus dealt with your past the moment that you believed in him as Savior. You are no longer under any condemnation. You are free. Set free. Live in that freedom. Move in that freedom. Appreciate, enjoy that freedom. As long as you're dragging around the guilt and the shame of your past, you're never going to be able to enjoy it. Never going to be able to appreciate it. Now, have you always done everything right? No, I'm not talking about that. Have you always lived your life perfectly? I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about appreciating and understanding what it is that Jesus, by going to that cross for us, has done for us. He's given us spiritual freedom when we believe in what he's done for us, when we believe in him as Savior. Now, legally, condemnation is a legal decision that indicates that someone has been found guilty in a criminal case, often with ensuing punishment. Would that be true, Dave? True. Okay. Good. All right. Not really good with legalese, so I'm glad Dave is over here. All right. But because of our sin, all of us are condemned before God. Because of our sin, all of us are condemned before God. Romans chapter 3, Romans chapter 4, Romans chapter 5 all makes that very, very clear. In fact, Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." That's why I made the statement, I'm not talking about living perfect lives. I'm not talking about living in a way that you've never sinned. I'm not talking about that. We've all sinned. Every single human being has sinned. That's what it says. For all have sinned. In fact, in Romans chapter 5, it talks about the fact that for by one man's disobedience, sin came upon all mankind. Who was that one man who disobeyed? Adam. And from the moment that he took a bite of that fruit of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil that God had said, don't eat of it, sin then therefore for all of his descendants passed upon mankind. And the reason that the virgin birth is so important, the reason the virgin birth is something that we need to really fully understand, is because Jesus, being born of a virgin, did not take on Adam's sin. He was not stained with Adam's sin like you, like me. Therefore, he could go to the cross to pay your debt of sin. So that you could what? So that I could what? Have that spiritual freedom that he wants us to be able to have. You see how that all connects? Isn't it fun when we connect the dots? Isn't that good? I just think that's great. Sin has condemned us. But when we believe in Jesus, what effect does sin have on us? Look at Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. How do we get to be in Christ Jesus our Lord? We believe in him as Savior. Once our sin condemns us, there's nothing we can do on our own to change the verdict. Once we have been condemned of sin, there is nothing we can do to change the verdict. But Jesus, I like those words, right? But Jesus. has done something to allow the verdict of condemnation to be overturned. So therefore, Jesus is the foundation of our spiritual freedom. He provided us this freedom through his sacrifice on the cross. Jesus is the one who brings us God's redemption. You get it? It's not about you. It's not about a spiritual leader. It's not about following a list of church rules or regulations. It's not about following the law of the Old Testament. It's not about following the Ten Commandments. Because the Ten Commandments were actually given, the law in the Old Testament was actually given to show how sinful we as human beings really are. Not to make us good, not to give us spiritual freedom, but to show us that without Jesus dying on that cross and we believing in him as Savior, there's no freedom. There's no freedom. We're still going to be bound in sin. So if you're here today and you've never come to believe in Jesus as Savior, please, please do it now. Let me just remind you, you can do it in the quietness of your own mind, in the quietness of your own heart. And just believe in what it is that Jesus has done for you. He provided this freedom through his sacrifice on the cross. And because there's no condemnation, that means that when we believe in Jesus as Savior, all of our sins are wiped clean. All of our sins are wiped clean. In the book of Psalms, it says that when we believe in Jesus as Savior and we understand the fact that our sins have been cared for and paid for, that God removes our sins as far as the east is from the west. He buries them in the depths of the deepest sea and he remembers them no more. Man, that makes us appreciate that no condemnation any longer, right? So, if God has removed your sins from you, if God has removed them as far as the east from the west, and he's buried them in the depths of the deepest sea, who do you think you are that you get to carry them around for the rest of your life and live in that guilt and shame of your sins? You don't need to do that. Don't need to do that. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. The consequences of sin are removed. The sentence of condemnation from sin has been repealed or canceled for all who believe. This is like someone who was found guilty by an earthly judge and sentenced to death. And then that judge turns to the guilty one and declares the sentence repealed. Now that once guilty person could no longer be punished for that crime, because Jesus paid for your sin as he went to that cross. There is therefore now no condemnation. You can never be judged for that sin any longer. He took it for you. He took it for me. He took it for us as believers. Whew, man. Verse 1, we are told, those who are in Christ experience the joy of no condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Let's look at the fulfilling of our spiritual freedom. Look at verses 2 and 3, Romans chapter 8. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. Let me just stop there for a moment. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you what? 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 Are you free? Yes. Not because of what you've done, not because of who you are, but because of what Jesus has done for us. You are free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh. Wow. Get this. The word law here means a rule that governs actions, a principle of procedure. Before we come to believe in Jesus as Savior, we are living under the law of sin and death. We are moving under the law of sin and death. It is the governing principle. It is the guiding procedure of our lives. We can't do anything about it. But now get this. It says we are set free. Set free in Christ Jesus. That means we are no longer imprisoned by the law of sin and death. We come to believe in what Jesus has done for us on the cross, and we are set free. Set free from that law of sin and death. Wow. Now, let me try to give you a little bit of an illustration of this. Remember back, and I don't remember exactly when it happened, and so I'm going to kind of go off script a little bit. But remember when Romania, the country of Romania, became free? Remember there was an overthrow of the Romanian government, and they were free? And they hadn't been free for centuries, for a long, long time. They'd always been under rule of dictators and tyrants, and now they're free. Well, when we were in Spokane, our pastor made a trip over to Romania right after that freedom for Romania came in place. And so while he's in Romania, he's riding in a taxi, and he's visiting with the taxi driver. And so they're driving from one place to another, and the taxi driver comes to a stoplight and just keeps on going. Doesn't stop. And so the pastor thought, well, that's pretty strange. Then he comes to a stop sign, and he doesn't stop. He just blows through the stop sign. Fortunately, there was nothing coming. And so he did this, and this taxi driver did this several other times. And finally, our pastor said, wait a minute. You're not obeying any of the traffic rules. You're not stopping at the traffic lights. You're just stopping at the stoplights. And the taxi driver looked in the rearview mirror, looked at the pastor, and said, I don't have to. And the pastor said, what do you mean you don't have to? He says, we're free. We're free from the law. We're free from tyrants. We're free. We're free. And the pastor went, that's not what freedom means. You got this. You got a weird, weird idea of what freedom really is, and then had to explain to him what freedom really meant, and then had the opportunity to go to Romans and explain to him what spiritual freedom really was all about. Get the idea? Set free. We are no longer imprisoned by the law of sin and death. No condemnation. No condemnation. Just spiritual freedom. Whew, man, aren't you glad for that? I am. I'm glad for that every day. Every day. So, let's look at the fruit of our spiritual freedom. We've looked at the foundation of spiritual freedom. We've looked at the fulfilling of our spiritual freedom. That's from Christ. Let's look at the fruit of our spiritual freedom. Go again to verse 4. In order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. You see, the fruit of freedom is experienced by being in Christ and walking according to the Spirit, not the flesh. Where does the flesh want us to walk? In condemnation. Where does the flesh want us to walk? In sin. But we don't have to walk there. To walk means our behavior, or the way we live the course of our life. And too many people are living in a prison they have made for themselves. Too many believers are living like a criminal who has been set free, yet refuses to leave that prison. Now, Jerry didn't know when the Holy Spirit was working on him to choose the songs for today. But early on in our praise, part of our worship, we sang a song called Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. The author of that hymn, the author of those words, his name is Robbie Robertson. And he was the poet laureate at one time of the nation of England. He had written many, many poems. And most of his poems gave praise and honor and glory to God, just like the one we sang that had been turned in later on, turned into a hymn. But there was a time in Robbie's life to where he walked away from that faith. He walked away from his relationship with God, and he fell into sin. And he became a drunkard. He became a partier, and he set aside his writing of these poems. These poems had been published. These poems that he had written about God and God's faithfulness and the relationship that he had with God and what God meant to him, they'd been published. And there were many, many volumes of his poems published and spread all throughout England, all throughout parts of Europe. One day, in his worst time of his life, he had been drinking all night long. And he had been drinking at a friend's house. And he knew he had to get home. So early in the morning, he gets up and he stumbles out of the house, and he's stumbling down the road, and it's raining, and he has no umbrella, he has no raincoat, he's out in the elements, and just as he's trying to figure out a place where he can go and get out of the rain, here comes this carriage. And this is a beautiful carriage. It's a carriage that belongs to somebody who was part of royalty. And this carriage comes by and then stops. And then waits for Robbie Robertson to get close to the carriage. And then the carriage door opens. And sitting inside this carriage is a woman who is very, very beautiful. And she invites Robbie Robertson into the carriage. And so reluctantly, he goes into the carriage. And so she asks him where he's going and where he's been. And so he tells her that he's trying to get home, and he tells her that he's been out drinking all night long at a friend's place. And so he asks her, "So where are you going?" And she said, "Sir, I'm going to church. Would you like to go to church with me?" And Robbie Robertson said, "Nope, no thank you, not interested." And so she has a book that's in her lap. And Robbie Robertson looks at that book, and he recognizes that book. The book was a book of his poems. And he says, "Do you enjoy reading those poems?" She said, "Oh, yes." And he says, "Do you have a favorite?" She says, "Oh, yes." So she opens the book and she turns and she begins to read the words that Robbie Robertson wrote and said, "I love this. Come, thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy praise." And Robbie Robertson began to cry. He began to weep. And she said, "What's wrong?" And when he finally was able to get his composure, he said, "I'm the author of that poem. I'm Robbie Robertson." And he said, "Do you think I could go to church with you today?" And she said, "By all means." So they went to church. And Robbie Robertson, during that service, came back to Jesus and began to write more poems once again to honor God with his writings. Wow. But you see, sometimes when we're living, when we choose not to enjoy, not to live and move in the freedom that is given to us, the spiritual freedom that is given to us because of what Jesus has done for us on the cross, where's the first place our flesh wants to go? To sin. Doing the things that we know we shouldn't be doing. Did he know he shouldn't be doing those things? Absolutely. So the fruit of spiritual freedom is the ability to enjoy the life you have here and to be able not to fear God's coming judgment of sin. But so many believers are living like a criminal who's been set free, but yet refuses to leave that prison. Folks, if you don't take anything else away from this message this morning, take this. Get out of that prison. Leave the prison behind. Enjoy the spiritual freedom that is yours, because we have so many blessings in Jesus. And one of them is freedom from condemnation. Now, Jesus' body was broken on the cross because of our sin. His blood was shed on the cross because of our sin. And as we celebrate communion together this morning, let us remember the spiritual freedom provided for us by Jesus. Let me just remind you this morning that if you're here, you don't have to be a regular attender of Lake Hazel Bible Church in order to celebrate communion with us. You just have to be a believer in what Jesus has done for you on the cross. I'm going to ask the men to come and join me at the table.
So sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know Thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I've proved Him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh for grace to trust Him more. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust His cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge me, meet the healing cleansing flood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I trust Him more.
Let's remember Jesus.
Yes, 'tis sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease, just from Jesus simply taking life and rest and joy and peace. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I've proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more.
I'm so glad I learned to trust Thee, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that Thou art with me, wilt be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I've proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus,
Let's remember Jesus.
Would you all stand with me for our last song? Many of you probably know it by heart. It's called Solid Rock.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but only lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils His lovely face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath, His covenant, His blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, He then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When He shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in Him be found, dressed in His righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
Have a great week as you stand on the solid rock.